I want to talk briefly about the lawsuit that President Trump filed last year against Ann Seltzer, a very respected, prominent pollster in Iowa and beyond. The lawsuit was filed against her and against the Des Moines Register for publishing a poll that suggested that Kamala Harris was going to win Iowa. In the poll, she won by 3 percentage points. In reality, she lost by 13. What was really surprising about that was that Ann Seltzer is rarely wrong and never wrong by that much. So everybody was kind of shocked by it. And I know Ann Seltzer. She's a very decent person. And so a lot of us in Iowa were like, come on, Trump. This is not a legitimate lawsuit. And apparently that's how the courts came down on it as well. They dismissed, the Polk County District Court judge heard oral arguments and on the motions to dismiss. And it's not going anywhere. It's one of these lawsuits intended to sow intimidation and to get people to shut up. All right, so here in Des Moines today, it is 97 degrees. A lot of parts of the country are experiencing extreme drought, heat, and of course, along with that, floods. And interestingly, according to a survey published in The Guardian, a majority of Americans are connecting the severe weather to the climate crisis. Despite efforts by Trump to dismiss global warming as a hoax or a con job. So, again, according to The Guardian, this is a sign that attempts to suppress and polarize climate concerns may not be seeing full success, is one way to put it. So about 61% of likely American voters believe extreme weather events have become more frequent over the past years. That survey, it was from a polling firm called Data for Progress. It found that 72% of Democrats believe that extreme weather is being caused by climate change. I'm surprised it's only 72%. 63% of independents and about 46% of all Republicans. So, it's an overwhelming majority that understand what's going on. My thought is it took people long enough to get here. And we still got a ways to go. Again, there's a very powerful denial machine that is now headquartered in the White House. I'll talk about that in a minute, too. But first, a story in The Economist. I read all kinds of newspapers, listen to all kinds of radio programs. The Economist is kind of the British apologist for crony capitalism, in my opinion. But they did have an interesting story on July 6th, talking about something called the albedo. A-L-B-E-D-O. Not libido, folks. Albedo. And this is where climate change basically feeds on itself. It's the warming effects, the greenhouse gases that, because the sun can't bounce back from the earth like it used to be able to do. There's less snow. There's less white surfaces available for the sunlight to take a trip back to the sun. And as a result of these high albedos, there's more energy, more sun energy staying on the planet. And thus further raising the planet's temperature. Ouch, this is a problem. So here's a problem as well. Last year, and this is just coming out now, somehow a couple New York Times reporters managed to get into this situation. I don't know if they were at the meeting or talked to people who were, but there was a meeting at the White House between oil company executives and Trump and his key people. One oil executive was complaining about bills that had passed the Vermont and New York legislatures that were trying to address the need to clean up Superfund sites that were related to climate change. And to ease the grief of these poor oil executives, Stephen Miller, yeah, him again, told the group that he'd fix the problem. So, give Miller credit for keeping his word, because 2 months later, after that meeting, the Trump administration sued Vermont and New York to try to block enforcement of those laws. Maybe some of you remember the MAGA's predecessor, the Tea Party. They were all about states' rights. Don't let the federal government boss us around. Don't let states boss cities around, counties around. Local control, right? Well, there's another example of how the federal government is basically taking over what should be the state's responsibility. So also from that meeting at the White House, Darren Woods, he's the head honcho of Exxon, he expressed his concern about European Union regulations that require big corporations to both monitor and reduce the environmental effect of their activities, and also they have to develop climate transition plans. So Woods didn't like that. And of course, Stephen Miller didn't like that. So Trump told Howard Lutnick, that's the Commerce Secretary, he said, go ahead and impose additional tariffs on the EU until they abandon those regulations. Done. And I'm not sure what came of those regulations, but I mean, this is how friendly the White House is to the oil industry. So at another point in that meeting, Miller asked the executives in attendance for a list of 10 projects the White House could help fast track. The CEO of Chevron, Mike Wirth, he pushed for an extension of the firm's license to operate in Venezuela. Well, we see where that led. Venezuela, now run by Marco Rubio. So according to the article in the New York Times about this, the CEOs were almost in awe. There was no semblance of a policy process, but rather the CEOs are raising their grievances and Trump was essentially saying, make it so, it shall be done. Yeah, anyway, this is where we're at, folks. The oil industry basically owns the White House.